This is Toby. Welcome to the RPG Logic Podcast, the tabletop RPG podcast where we combine actual play, the critique and analysis of the game as played from the player and the game master perspective. The game we are playing is Battlelords of the 23rd Century, a game by SSDC, where the players take the role of space mercenaries in a dangerous future. In this episode, we cover an attempt at interrogating the prisoner that doesn't go well, but we have fun. We also talk about how to know when a scene is over, especially when the scene fails. I am the GM, and the players in this session are Charles and Dale.
It takes about half an hour. You continually, everybody looks like he's coming up, or not the Orion, your Eridani looks like he's coming around. You zap him in the back of the head again. Keep him out.
Hopefully we aren't causing
you should read the side effects of this thing and see if there's like massive headaches that get induced or something.
I would imagine that the repeated use is going to result in massive headaches. Yes, I would imagine.
Probably scramble short-term memory too. So, whatever.
Well, maybe Caltra's got good medical.
They've got pretty good medical. They're the director right now. Okay.
No, I meant maybe Caltra.
Oh, Caltra has good medical. Yeah, they might have good medical too.
Are we done with this?
Yep, you get back to the you get back to headquarters, and you go to find the director or subdirector Brad Moore.
Yep. We'll go make our report.
He looks like he is quite busy. He looks like he is organizing security team. He's organizing security teams. All right, this is what we need. I need it in the server room. I need another team by the front door, and you see if you can find.
Are we under attack?
You ask him that?
Yes.
So no, we're not under attack yet, but I would expect something to happen any day now, any moment now.
Okay.
I'm going to go put my armor on.
Yeah.
That would be a good idea.
I'm going to put my armor on or check myself into a hospital, because if I remember, I was not in really good shape.
Yeah, you were in pretty bad shape.
Oh, yeah, you should.
Not to mention I'm spent matrix-wise.
Yeah, you should definitely go check into medical.
Yeah, you really need medical attention as well.
Me?
No, not you.
Oh, I was going to say. I'll go and armor up and get my gear.
So you catch Brad also saying, what is Carver doing?
Carver?
We're going to need to see if we can put some men in place to prevent him from seizing control.
Great.
Carver, is another director of AMC Pegasi.
What kind of a director?
He is, he's like a senior level executive.
Okay, but not as high as Paul?
Right.
Like next level down kind of thing?
Like next level down.
Great. So who would have been in line to replace Paul?
Carver is one of the people.
Ah, so is there a process or just whoever seems to work to put themselves in position?
There is a process, but usually you don't go through the process. It requires that the outgoing director
picks the succession.
Exactly. Okay.
All right. Exactly. Brad, is there anything we can do to help here?
Yeah, keep that guy out of sight. And once you find what he knows, and
we're going to need some help in that respect.
What kind of help do you need?
Somebody to actually pick his brain, because we're not trained in that. If you remember, we had someone on our team that would have done that great, but we don't right now.
That's right. Okay. I'll see if I can send someone down to you. In the meantime, sit on that guy.
Okay.
Right. I also want to
if you can get any information from, if there's any further information you can pick up from the scene of the attack, that'd be perfect. We need to figure out what happened, and we need to protect the director.
Right.
Do we need extra protection where the director is being treated?
It's possible. I've already got some people headed there. The director should be protected, but it's going to be tense for a while between this whole Keltra, and I'm sure some people are going to transfer reaching for Director Xu's position.
Okay. I've got an idea. We should also run the serial numbers, if there are any, of the Eridani's gear through the system like we had to do with those... the thing that we got and the one thing that we didn't tell anybody about.
Oh, yeah. Yes. Yeah. Yes, the equipment that you managed to procure.
Yeah.
Now I'm confused.
So we'll... we should run this because, like, for, remember how we did that weapons deal?
Yeah, no, I know.
That turned out to be.
What are you trying to figure out?
I want to run the whatever serial numbers that are on any of the assassin's gear through the AMC system to see if any of it's AMC equipment.
Okay, well, good idea. I can't imagine they'd have been that stupid, but all right.
Yeah.
Okay, you run it through the system, and there's no match there.
Okay. I'm assuming we've got sort of like private jail cells or something where we can, or security whatever cells where we can.
Yeah. So another thing is you're able to pull an ID from the Eridani, because you can once you get back to the headquarters, you'll be able to pull an ID from DNA matching. If he's in the planetary database someplace. So you can go ahead and do that sort of thing.
Oh, okay. If we have time, I guess we should definitely do that.
Just to get a name and see if they've got any. Cause I tell you that because you don't know, all the capabilities of the technology and whatnot.
Well, right, yeah.
Right, well, we should get that. We'll get them logged in. We can log him in on the security manifest or whatever into the jail as drunk on the job or something like that, so that he's not like director's assassin, so that everybody knows.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Caught drinking on the job or something like that. Okay. And give him. We'll give him some goofy name, like Eric.
Well, how quickly can Brad Eric figure Donnie. Out who can...
Eric Donnie.
Ha-ha. How quickly can Brad get us someone that can actually do an interrogation on a mental level? Because he's kind of tying us down right now. And there's a lot of other stuff we need to do, too. And if Brad needs some coaxing, we'll let him know that.
He hasn't gotten back in touch with you yet. He's busy. Are you going to interrupt him and ask?
Yeah.
Heading back up there to ask
Brad.
Him?
Oh, well.
What is it?
Do we have our armor on yet?
If you want to go back to your quarters and get the armor on and whatnot. Although I thought you had it in the go-to.
Yeah, we did actually have it in the vehicle, so we should.
Yeah, you've geared back up again.
So we're geared up. And as patched up as we can be, and we've checked the dude in as a drunk into the system, we should probably leave one of us with him at all times, while maybe the other one tracks down whatever it is we need to get him out of our hair, so we can move on to either protecting the director or interrogating or in checking out the scene of the crime.
Okay, I'm not clear. What exactly are you doing at this point?
So we're all suited up. We've got him in a jail cell, correct?
He's in the jail cell.
Right.
Logged in as Eric Donnie as drunk on the job.
Correct. One of us should stay as a guard on the jail cell.
Yeah, I'll do that.
Okay, and I will go back up and bug Brad Moore again about, hey, we need a... what are they called?
Oh, the Chatillion?
We need a Chatillion ASAP.
All right, I'm not sure I actually have any aliens. I can see if I can find another Eridani or someone else who's skilled in interrogation to talk to him.
That would work.
Okay, that will be that'll be in a couple of hours. I don't think you'll be able to. I'll be able to find someone for a couple of hours.
Okay. That's all I need.
Anything else?
Yeah.
I don't think so. All right, quickly, how long did it take to travel? It was like a half hour to get to the director's place from here? Okay.
Yeah.
And where is he being held, do we know?
Here.
Where's the director being treated?
At headquarters, there's a medical facility here.
In this building?
Yeah. Okay. It's a big building with a number of, it's a complex in addition to being a large building.
Trying to understand just the layout now. Okay. All right. So, yeah. I guess we'll wait for a couple of hours and maybe try interrogation ourselves while we're waiting. So, since we have some time, let's go over in a more fine-tooth comb what this guy's like. Does he have any decorations or jewelry or tattoos or anything? Oh, yeah. I suppose
we should take his arm. We should...
Well, obviously, he should be disarmed.
Somebody remove his armor.
Yeah.
Remove his armor and all the other good stuff. Right.
Okay. Yeah, he's now... I guess you could use save one final thing to zap him while you you've already just removed his armor at this point. You're not going to transport him in all his armor. So
probably not, but whatever the protocol is, yeah.
You are able to pull an ID from him based on DNA, cross match it with planetary, and his name is Zam Itam. Zam. Zam Itam. Sorry. I'll put out chat.
Oh, you still have the video on?
I do, but I'm going to just put it in chat on MapTools.
Oh, right. And you may want to turn off the video if you still have it going.
There. My video is off.
Okay.
That makes any difference, but there you go.
I don't know.
Okay. And the information from the that comes back from the planetary sources is that he arrived. Hold on one second. That he arrived on planet with his listed with Tam Itam 8 days ago at the spaceport. That's the only information that the planetary system has.
Okay. 8 days ago?
8 days ago.
So his brother left him to die.
Well, brother's
survived. The other information is that he arrived from Wolf 1056 station. Which doesn't tell you a whole lot because, as you know, that you guys were there. It's basically just a transit station.
Okay. Again, does he have anything else on him that might be jewelry or tattoos or yeah?
He they have tattoos. I don't believe Eridani are big on tattoos. Does not have jewelry or other identifying marks. And his hair is not. He's a low rank warrior on the basis of his hair.
Okay.
But that's about the length of gift just from observation.
Has he tried talking to us?
Nope.
So what does he do when he's
conscious? He's watching you with a murderous fury.
Well, as well he should.
That is it.
Huh.
So we haven't actually tried to ask him anything. What's your name? Is he not responding?
He's not responding. He's looking at you with, he's continuing to look at you with fury.
Is there any expectation that we can both speak a common language?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
You know, I've met a few Eridani back before I worked for AMSC, and a lot of, you know, they weren't really so big on the surrender thing. The number of bars that they would wreck just purely because some jerk spilled a drink, and instead of just accepting another drink, it's really just got to eat you up that you lost to me.
we will have our revenge.
Oh, really? I don't know. I guess I do like a terrestrial notch. Aren't you guys like really proud of your swords? I think maybe I'll have yours melted down and added to my barbells, my weight set. Yeah, I think that's what I'm gonna do.
You can see neck muscles twitching.
Yeah, that seems appropriate. And your armor, I'll just keep using it as a punching bag. That worked pretty well. I mean, it probably only lasts like another 20 minutes before I break it in half. But, you know, a workout's a workout, I guess.
More neck muscles are twitching. There's a vein. There's a great big vein in his forehead that's pumping away.
He's like really secure, right? We've got him like he like the handcuffs through the ring and the table that's bolted to the floor and
oh yeah
the leg. Okay, all right.
He's pretty well secured. You're not worried, are you?
No, well, I just want to make sure we've done this properly. Yeah.
We did give him a pen to write down any statement he wanted to make, right? Which had like a couple of metal clips to put in your pocket.
Yeah.
Where'd that pen go? All right, well, I'm not even going to try and interrogate him too much because it's just not my forte, so I'm inclined to wait around for the professional to show up.
So when we capture your brother, do you want him in the same cell, or would you prefer that he not be able to look at you because of the shame you're suffering right now?
He's...
I don't know. We got one of you. Maybe we'll just shoot the other one. Give him a glorious death in combat.
He is... I need to give these guys a mission score. That would be great. You're doing a good job of pissing him off. I'll tell you that right now. But he's holding his he every single muscle of his is straining right now. But he is staying seated in that flimsy plastic chair that's kind of groaning under, kind of bending a little bit under his weight.
All right.
Is there anything else you want to do here?
I thought I made a statement.
you guys do those that weird like yoga thing, right? Where you like pose in the rain or whatever, just to like center yourself or do whatever hocus pocus you think you do. And I'll just go and start making like goofy bodybuilder poses, something like this, right? You know, like, ooh, which way is what's the shape of the world? You know, where you do the circle thing and flex and stand on one foot and, like, flex or something and hold it for as long as I can. Like, this is about right, right? Like, I'd be like one of your priest people if I could just hold this position for long enough.
Now, stop. All right, he lunges at you.
Ooh, I guess I jump back a little bit like, oh, no.
He gets pulled up short by the chains or the
right, like,
field or whatever you've got between the two of you.
Yeah.
You will never get any information from me.
No, but we already got all your gear.
Your mocking noises to away from me.
I don't know. I got nothing else to do today. I wonder if I could bend your sword just with my bare hands. Wonder if I could do that. I should go find out. You know, maybe I'll do that for my afternoon workout. I'll just bend it into little pretzely knots.
When my brother returns, he will rip your head from your body, and he will fling it into the street.
He already ran away.
Urinate on the remains of your corpse.
I just don't see that happening because he already ran away from us once. I think he's just going to keep running away. You know, there are shuttles that leave the planet hourly. He's probably already on one of those, just trying to get as far away as he can from the two inferior species who beat him.
Do not sleep peacefully tonight.
I think you're the one who's not going to be sleeping peaceful, because you're going to see my smiling face for the rest of your days.
I thought we were going to kill him tomorrow.
He plucks a hair from...
Sorry, you're breaking up?
He pulls a hair from his head.
He pulls a hair from his head.
Uh-huh. And another one.
Uh-oh. Guys,
and he just starts to methodically remove the hair from his head.
Oh, that's a shame. You know, in a few more years, you might have had like a lot of hair, but like now, this is what you do, right? You have to cut off your hair when you've been beaten. Here, I could help you with that. Let's go get some razors. We'll give you a nice little flat top fade.
He's just removing hairs one at a time.
Okay, should this have some significance to it? Because I'm not getting it.
Tink. Well, if you want to roll a terrestrial knowledge at minus 25, go ahead.
Sure. Absolutely. And again, how do I do that?
Terrestrial knowledge is...
No, I mean...
Secondary stats. Oh, you can do slash roll D100.
All mushed together?
Space between the roll and D100.
Oof.
Nope. Doesn't make any sense to you at all.
Right, are there any
Does his hair seem abnormal in any way?
He's got it just a mohawk sort of.
Are there any Eridani in our building facility besides this guy?
Oh, yeah.
I'll go and call one of them in if I can. See one in the hallway.
Okay. That's GU2. Where did you go? Maybe it's GU1.
There we go. What are you talking about? He's got tattoos in this picture right here. And a lightsaber.
The lightsaber, so that's bad, isn't it?
Probably. And no nose.
No, they have no nose.
Well, they're methane breathers, too.
Mm.
There we go. Long live the sword saint. Yeah, he's got, let's see, where does it say here? He has something about their hair. I can't remember exactly what kind of hair he has. It's a short mohawk.
Yeah.
Which he is plucking.
Right, so...
one by one.
Okay, well, let's restrain him so he stops doing that. It's bugging me. Zap him and tie his hands a little better, okay?
No, what we do is we hit the button that retracts the chains, so they're shorter, right?
He's probably behind an energy barrier between you and
him. Oh, yeah, because he's got to be in a methane environment.
He does.
Oh. I guess we'll just assume that when we took his helmet off earlier, he'd had one of those injections that gives them, like, the 12 hours worth of methane to breathe. Oops.
Oops. Well, he had a beater on. He had that mask on.
Oh, right. Yeah, that's it. Right, I'll go get one of the Eridani.
Okay.
And ask, it doesn't matter whether they're a businessman or a soldier.
So you come across an Eridani security guard.
Mm-hmm. Hey, would you
Will you
help me out with this for a sec?
Are you Rob Roy?
Yes.
I was sent to find you.
Uh-oh.
By
Director Moore.
Yeah.
I am Ezra Aral Nebular. I believe I am your new teammate. There we go. We can...
Nice. I like that.
There you go.
We can proceed with the horribly racist, like, shaming parade.
Why do you say that?
Because of, like, really, all I was doing was sitting there making fun of his entire species. Which,
you were pretty much, yes.
Between Orions and Eridani, it's entirely appropriate, but it doesn't make it any less racist. Even though it's a fake race.
I'm Toby.
I'm Dale. And we lost Charles again.
We lost Charles.
No, I'm Charles. Oh. I was just being patient.
Okay, so I wanted to talk. This section is divided into two scenes. There's the first scene where you are talking to you get back to headquarters and you're talking to your boss, Brad Moore. And the second scene where you are flailing around attempting to interrogate the Eridani. So each scene needs a dramatic question to define the purpose and the limits of the scene. And so the first scene when you're talking to your boss is, can you get information from Brad Moore? I don't think there was anything else you were trying to accomplish in that scene other than just kind of figure out what's going on and what he wanted. Is that what you would say?
Well, I would agree.
Yeah, I mean, we went from one scene of chaos to a complete that we understood to a completely unexpected scene of chaos that we had no idea why, you know, there was no incoming fire. Why was everyone behaving the way they were? Mm-hmm. So it was definitely a bit of, well, what's our role in the business as well? Like, what's our, where, what are we allowed to ask? Who are we allowed to just directly confront about anything? Mm-hmm. And then it sort of turned out to be, because of the chaos, anybody. We can ask anybody we want anything.
Yeah. Yeah. And
no, I suppose...
Go ahead.
Yeah, I suppose it was an opportunity for us to either switch or reaffirm allegiances within the corporation, and we really weren't inclined to change, so it was just a matter of where did they want us to go and what did they want us to do kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. At least the faction that we were loyal to.
Yeah, again, you're kind of in a situation where you don't really have enough background information to be able to really take the initiative and make choices.
Correct.
Yeah, and I feel like...
I'm sorry.
Sorry, I feel like the only opportunity that might have happened for us to switch is if we'd been somehow been introduced to other factions within AMC previously.
Yeah,
as it was, it didn't even occur to me because it didn't seem like that was an option.
Yeah,
sure. There's that.
Go ahead.
And we had just made a good connection with the president of the entire operation on the planet, so there wasn't nearly any inclination on our part to ditch that effort.
Yeah.
Right. And then, in order to take the initiative and make some other choices, even to reaffirm your loyalty to the boss, you don't really have any information about the other players in this political battle to be able to make choices about what we're going to do. Oh, well, we don't like this Carver guy, so we're going to go after him. You don't know any information about him, you know, at all, because he's basically never been introduced before in the game. So he's kind of...
Well, sure.
Yeah.
And you could have thrown out there some sort of curveball with Brad Moore and the security team, who was actually backing someone who didn't support the current director, and that would have definitely put us in a bit of a quandary, I suppose.
But, oh, yeah. Absolutely.
But so far, we're all on the same side, I think.
Mm-hmm. So the second scene, you're in trying to interrogate the Eridani. And I guess the dramatic question there is, can you find any information from the captured Eridani? And the problem we ran into, I think, with this scene is when you're interacting with an NPC who may or may not be willing to help you, it's when there's a question about whether they're willing to help you. Brad, basically, there was no question. He's going to give you information within a certain area. If you want to push for more details, then you can certainly do that. And that's what we're talking about here. So there's the approach and the attempt. So how are you going to ask for what you want? And then what it is that you actually want. And I felt like, from my perspective, your approach towards the Eridani was pretty obvious. You're going to make him mad. But I wasn't sure what you actually wanted to get from him. It seemed like you weren't asking any questions. How do you feel about that?
I thought we actually asked him, like, who paid him? Tell us what you want. You know, we'll make it, you know, we can... You know, if you help us, we can help you, sort of a thing. But that was kind of quickly abandoned partly because of metagame knowledge. We know.
Are you breaking up there, Charles?
Well, let me fill in for him because I think I have the same things going on. But yeah, we did try the basic questions, and because whether rightly or not, we realized that this was a trained professional who wasn't going to give in lightly. We knew we needed something beyond just talking to the person to be able to pry any information out of him. But I wanted to bring up the point, transitioning from the last scene into this one, what we did gain from Bradmore was kind of a sense of urgency, and an urgency in multiple directions. Like, he gave us three different things that we could be doing, and we kind of had to pick which one we thought was the most useful. Because he wanted us to both guard the crime scene, guard the director, and try and interrogate this guy. So, or protect him from being captured or rescued.
And mm-hmm.
We kind of hit a brick wall when we didn't have the expertise at hand to be able to interrogate him. So we're really floundering at that point as to how to proceed, yet still had a sense of urgency that we were supposed to do something. It was kind of frustrating.
Yeah, no, I certainly understand that. And I guess... From my perspective, what I should have done was, when you were trying to do the interrogation without particular skills or the ability to read his mind or anything, I know that's what you were looking for. When it wasn't clear exactly what you wanted from him, I should have said, okay, I don't understand what it is you're trying to get from this guy. I have to say, though, we were having a lot of fun with the scene, which is why I was like, I don't really want to break this short. But it did kind of lead us into a kind of a circular, we don't know where we're going with this situation. I guess pretty soon we would have had to end that in any event, even if it was entertaining. But it really felt to me to go, I don't know where you're going with this. How is making this guy mad going to give you guys the convince him to give you the information that you want? And that's something I should have done.
True, but without any real interrogation skills, that was, I guess, the only approach that we had, was somehow try to force him to come around. But yeah, it was more humorous than effective.
Right. Getting him to say anything at all would have been a start. So, like, that's sort of where I was like, well, going with the getting him angry, we can get him reacting and get him talking about anything, gets him talking, and then maybe we can get him to slip up and reveal something. And in the end, it just became ridiculous, but also almost was a little embarrassing, because it was all I was trying to do, and it was thinking through the role-playing aspect, was typical information that most species know about other species, and using it, that typical information, to make that one, a member of that one species mad, which is just boiling it down to it, just being a racist jerk. And in the content, speciesist jerk, is in the context of a role-playing game, I mean, I guess it's okay, because we all know it's in fun, but it still can maybe make you feel a little weird afterwards. Although, like I said, I thought we were all laughing our heads off. I thought it was pretty funny.
Yeah, it was definitely fun. I guess the way I see is what could have been done, even without your specialized interrogation skills or ability to read minds, was you could have tried a variety of you know, ask him questions, make him offers, you know, engage with him rather than just simply try and make him as mad as you possibly can. And that's kind of the role playing your way around. I don't have the skill. I'm going to role play around it.
I would agree, except this particular prisoner was of the profession and race, if you will, species that wasn't really going to be bantering with this. It wasn't like a traitor type based race or profession. It's like, well, you would have expected him to say nothing. And there was certainly no indication that he was willing to trade or turn or anything. And we wouldn't really have expected it. So it seemed like we quickly hit a brick wall that wasn't going to be overcome.
Yeah, I certainly can see that. So you kind of felt this decided, okay, we're going to try something. It's not going to work. There's not a whole lot we can do here. Let's move on with something else.
Well, right. And I don't disagree with the way it played out because I wouldn't have expected someone of that caliber to just like broken down and switched sides and everything. And so that I think it all played out correctly. It just wasn't fun. there was no solution that was obvious.
Yeah. No, then that's definitely the problem. It just leads to frustration. It's like, I can't actually do anything here, and we're still floundering around. And that's why it's like, I should have asked for your intent. Okay, we're not going anywhere with this. Cut it off and let's move on to the next thing. What are we going to do instead? You can't get any information from this guy. You're short of beating it out of him. And even then, you don't know what you're going to get.
Well, we were kind of thinking at any moment there was going to be some breach in the building and people were going to be storming in trying to recover this guy. And that didn't happen either. So it was like, well, great.
Yeah. But so this is clearly an example of the scene started out fun. It was kind of entertaining and it kind of dragged on far too long. And it just ends up being frustrating. And that's kind of why you've got to know what the goal of the scene is and know when, okay, we're done. we need to finish this now because this is now getting tedious. Because
that would have been a nice little cut scene to go to what then we were doing in, not the next scene, but the scene after that. You know, we got actionable intelligence. We were able to go and storm this building and so on. And if we had been able to do that quickly and move on, then that would have been great. But
exactly.
And I understand it was probably not even all prepared at that point. So
it's a little, it's a little haphazard, a little underprepared. Underprepared.
Well, at the same time, like our other two options for stuff to do, you know, the guard the director and guard the crime scene, as far as we understood, that was all in hand. The director had his own personal guards or whatever.
Yeah.
The house guards were capturing the scene. So, in a manner, in one way, we did take care of it. We told the guy to preserve the scene, don't let anybody blah, 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 blah. And he said, well, of course, preserve the scene that is, entirely covered in smoke retardant or flame retardant,
exactly,
bug powder or whatever.
Yeah, right.
But so, like, I kind of felt like our only option was to interrogate, but it also happened to be our only, fun option. But it also happened to be the one that I think Dale and certainly I thought was going to be the most fruitful.
Right. Well, and not having been prepared, you probably could have just pulled out of your butt at some point, all right, fine, let's go ahead and do a haphazard breach that we know is going to fail and let them get something from that, which would lead them on to the next scene, and at least we could have had some action instead of really nothing happened that session, right?
Yeah, exactly. What we should have had is we should have had some guys kick down the door with guns.
Yeah, sure. And that would have been easy to just sort of have an evening of encounter,
Blasting each other with lasers.
Well, I also kind of thought that since we were down a player, that I was not expecting a whole lot to happen, but to continue, that we were trying to keep the story going, keep it fresh, but yet also not do too much so that
we didn't want to get killed either because we were still wounded from the previous
wounded and down,
depleted and everything too. But I mean, a haphazard breach would have worked. So instead of the commando kill team that came in after the director with us not being prepared, at least we were armored and armed.
Yes. Well, so that, I mean, and that again is leads to the thing. It's like the scene went on too long. It should have been wrapped up after the first probably 5 minutes, and we should have done something else for the rest of the scene. Whether that was, okay, guys, bust in, kick down the door and try to get the guy, or You get a call from someone saying, oh, there's a raid on the server room. You need to go and
right or something,
whatever it happens ends
right,
up being.
Right.
And I want to talk about that, what we ended up doing after we listened to the next scene.
Yes, I have comments about that as well, but we can talk about that with Brian, who may or may not be available.
We'll talk about it with him next time. Thank you.
This has been the RPG Logic Podcast. Thanks for listening. This show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution non-commercial license. Listeners are free to use this show in any non-commercial endeavor, as long as credit is provided to DrobiumDesign.com. Battlelords of the 23rd Century is a product of SACC, music by Kevin MacLeod. Links and details can be found in the show notes and at DrobiumDesign.com/RPGLogic. Thanks for listening, and stay gaming, my friends.